Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set again for our Saturday afternoon show on a beautiful day and beautiful baseball weather. And the White Sox, as you know, are playing at home tonight. Cubs are on the road. The Bears also will be here. So it's a big day of sports in Chicago. And, of course, as usual, for those of you who like horse races, there's plenty of racing around the Chicago area. Our guest today is going to be an old friend of many, many years, Rudy Schaefer, who's the vice president and business manager of the Chicago White Sox, and he's been in baseball a long, long time. He's made a lifetime out of it. So we have many things to talk about with Rudy because baseball is a favorite subject of his and of mine. And he'll be our guest in just about 1 minute. Our guest today, and we're happy to have him, is an old friend, Rudy Schaefer, who is the business manager and vice president of the Chicago White Sox. And the White Sox are at home tonight, by the way, and you can see an exciting ball game out there around 7:30. Rudy, if someone were to ask you the hypothetical question, let's say, what state is baseball in today? Do you think that Major League Baseball today for an outsider would be a good investment, or are there too many problems?
Well, I tell you, it all depends on the person that's the prospective purchaser. For you and I, Bob, baseball doesn't make sense as an investment because we don't have anything to write off about. Whereas if you're in the big chips, and you have a ball club and you can depreciate the players, and if you have a loss you can write it off against other income, then it does make some sense. On an overall basis, I think baseball is in for some tough years, and they're only in for tough years because they put themselves there. And I suppose you say, well, why did they do that? And I guess the only way I can answer that, Bob, is by saying it's greed. And it really isn't greed. It's some of these fellows are trying to fulfill a lifelong desire. They would like to own a major league club, and they would like to own a major league club that would win the pennant and the World Series. You take a fellow like Ray Kroc, who everybody knows. He doesn't need a ball club, but as long as all of us have known Ray Kroc, he's been a great baseball fan, and now he's got all this money, and the last thing that he'd like to do in his lifetime would be to have a winner. And so he's the kind of a fella that goes out and spends that big money for players that makes it tough on fellas like us on the South Side, who can't afford it. We don't have anything to write off against, see? And where he does. And so that's what created this problem and the state of economy that baseball is in right at this moment.
Now, many of our listeners have not seen the morning paper, but you people are in the news. That is the White Sox, you and Bill Veeck, and you've been with Bill for a long, long, practically for a lifetime. Why don't you tell us what happened?
Well, it's very simple what happened. I think I've more or less led up to the reasons for it happening. But what really happened was that the directors yesterday in a meeting voted to recommend to the shareholders that they accept the offer of the DiBartolotta family from Youngstown. And so the White Sox, for all intents and purposes, have been sold to that family. And the reasons for it is that, and you have to remember one thing, Bob, that Bill and his group should really be complimented. And I know that some people may find it, you know, a little awkward and perhaps are even angry with him for doing this. But he and the group were really the ones that saved baseball in the American League for Chicago. And a lot of people seem to forget that. But the Chicago White Sox were almost in Seattle before Bill really got his act together and with the group and saved it for Chicago. But after 5 years being here and trying to do it with fancy footwork without having the wherewithal, without having those big bucks that the Ray Crocs and those people have, we really haven't succeeded in doing the job that we thought we could do. So that, and obviously it's getting tougher each year, and so the only way out, so to speak, was to do what the directors did yesterday.
Now the group that's coming in, the DeBartolos, have plenty of money, right?
That's what I understand. They got money and shopping centers and all those good things. I'd like to have a little piece of that action myself. But and that's the kind of a person that it needs, that the White Sox need, that baseball needs, because I'm sure that he isn't coming in here to make a buck on the White Sox. He's coming in here to fulfill a dream, and he's coming in because when you're president and owner of a ball club, it opens all kinds of doors for you.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And for example, years ago, and I'm sure some of the people here and you will remember that a fellow by the name of Del Webb bought the Yankees, or was in a syndicate to buy the Yankees. Well, nobody had really ever heard of Del Webb. He'd been in the construction business out west in Tucson and places like that, but they really didn't know him. Well, all of a sudden, he is president of the New York Yankees. And I got news for you. The doors opened, and that construction business became a real big worldwide construction business. So these are things that happen, and I'm sure that this is going to happen for our new owner. And I've heard nothing but good comments and remarks and that sort of thing on him. He's certainly an upright guy, and he's got the bucks, and I'm sure he's going to spend them.
What would you say are a few of the highlights of the Bill Veeck Schaefer years? You fellows have been together a long time.
Well,
not only in Chicago.
I was kind of curious if you were referring to the last 5 years or the last 10 or what. But the real highlight, of course, was really when we went back to 1948 and won the World Series for the Cleveland Indians. That to me was the highlight of our career, because in doing that we also set new attendance records for major league clubs and attendance records that really stayed around for 20, 30 years before they're finally broken.
A figure goes through my mind, 2,600,000, is that close?
2,620,627 people. I ought to know, I counted them. But no, and
that's a pretty good trick in Cleveland.
That's right, and they've never done it since. And that was in 1948, so that's what, 32 years ago. And yet the ballpark is there, the seats are all there. They could do it. You just have to get those people turned on again, and the only way that you turn on people, really, basically, is to have a product.
There was always a feeling in Cleveland, and I'm sure you heard it, and perhaps you had the same feeling, that the ballpark was too big. It's a big concrete monster. I remember broadcasting the All-Star game there when, a right-hand hitter hit a home run in the upper deck in left field. Remember who that was?
No, I don't remember who that was, but sure, it's a big ballpark. But it's a beautiful sight when there's somebody sitting in all those seats.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a gorgeous sight. And if we would have had that series that the Yankees and the Orioles played, you know, this past week, where they drew about an average of 50,000 for each of five different games.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, in 1948, if we had the same set of circumstances, we would have been drawing 70,000 for each of those games. But because we did draw the 70s, the 72s, the 73s, the 78s with New York when they would come in for a weekend, like a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Just like clockwork.
But Rudy, isn't it true that today trying to do that in Cleveland is trying to do it the hard way?
Well, it's doing...
Cleveland is no Chicago.
That's right. Oh, that's right. But we turned them on in 1948, and I'm convinced that they could be turned on again. Because if you've got the product out on the field, Bob, you can do a lot of things. You can do a lot of things. And you have to excite people. You have to have some guys that can stroke the ball and do all those good things and be up in the standings.
Let's reminisce a little bit. What do you recall from the days when you and Bill were in St. Louis?
Well, you know how to hurt a guy, don't you? St. Louis, you know, when you look back and it's 25 years later, all of a sudden, you know, these things are not as grim as they seem to be at the time. But we used to say, had a saying that when something like this, first in booze, first in shoes, and last in the American League. And God darn it, try as we may, we just couldn't do anything about that. And of course, what really happened there, 2 years after we got there, Anheuser-Busch bought out the Cardinals, and that meant that they had the real big bucks to spend, and they just chased us out of town, and that's where the Baltimore Orioles came from, was right out of the St. Louis Browns back in 1954. Oh. So those were tough years, and we had some pretty good ball players, but they weren't just good enough, and we just couldn't get the act together. And coming off of, you know, some pretty good years in Cleveland, we didn't think we would have too much trouble, but circumstances changed that a little bit.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is Rudy Schaefer, an old friend and the business manager and vice president of the White Sox. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. We're delighted to have an old friend, Rudy Schaefer, one of the real nice guys in baseball, is our guest here today. He and I have spent a lot of time together in Cleveland and in Chicago. Rudy, you know, the midget incident in St. Louis has to stand apart as one of the most memorable things that ever happened in baseball, and it startled the baseball world. How did that thing come about?
Well, that came about through the real imaginative mind of a fellow by the name of Bill Veeck. What happened was that, as usual, the Browns were not in the race. And this was about August, and we had the Falstaff Brewing Company down there. We're sponsors of ours, and so we conned them into having a birthday party, an anniversary party out at the ballpark on a Sunday afternoon when we were going to play Detroit. So that in order to really do a job on this thing, Bill promised that we would do something unusual. And so they went out and sold a lot of tickets and for the game. And so between games, why, we had all this ceremony, and we had the big birthday cake and all that. But what really happened, and the reason that this particular date was selected, is because Detroit wasn't going very good that year either. So that at the time, as I remember, we were behind Detroit, as I recall it, the spread was something like 22.5 games, not out of first place, but out of seventh place. There were only 8 clubs in the league at that time. So you know that whatever we did on that particular afternoon was going to have a profound bearing on the pennant race. Obviously, it didn't mean a thing. So that that was the reason that the date was selected. And, of course, as I say, between games we had the celebration. We had passed out birthday cake to everybody that came, and it was a big crowd, as I remember. It was almost 20,000 for that day. That was a real winner. And of course, Eddie Goedel, the midget, was popped out of the birthday cake that we brought in from center field, and then he went and sat on the bench, and as you know, I hit in the first inning and actually got a base on balls. But that was the sequence of the thing, and it proved to be a very memorable occasion.
It certainly has. But a rule came out of that, was it? No more midgets, no more tall men?
That's right. And that, of course, is unfortunate because I think they would added a little spice to the game. But can you imagine getting into a crucial situation and bringing this guy out? Obviously, we didn't even try to do that. We used him as the leadoff man in the first inning of the ball game, so that we really didn't try to do the ultimate, which would be when the bags are loaded.
Put him up, yeah.
Forcing a run. So that and I think it would be fun to be able to do that, but as I say, why the rules have been changed, and of course the size has come into play, and they're sort of illegal, so to speak.
Well, the man we're talking about is the late Eddie Gaedel, and he lived here in Chicago, and because of that particular incident, he achieved worldwide fame.
That's right. Well, there was a full-page picture in Life magazine, as I remember it, and obviously stories from one end of the globe to the other. It's one of those situations that everybody still remembers, or at least people that were around in those days remember to this day that Bill Beck and Eddie Gaedel really made history down in Sportsman's Park in St. Louis back in 1953.
Well, now this announcement that the White Sox have been sold, I hope that doesn't mean that you and Bill are going to drop out of the baseball picture for all time.
Well, I don't know what to tell you in answer to that. I haven't had the privilege to talk to the new owners yet, and maybe they want me around for a while. Maybe they want me around forever. I don't know. Our staying here, certainly the sale was not contingent on our staying here. Obviously, he's going to have the right to do whatever he wishes to do. And if he chooses to have us, why, I'm sure that we will stay for a while. If he says get lost, I'm sure we'll walk away.
Now, Bill Veeck, everybody knows, has had some physical problems, and he's been an amazing man in spite of it, on the go all the time and all that. But what about his health? Is it generally good?
Well, no. Bill's health is generally bad, unfortunately, and for you and I to have all the aches and pains that he has, I think we'd be basket cases. He's a remarkably strong man, and he has more ailments than he'd like to admit to. And I think that this will give him an opportunity to recharge his batteries, so to speak. And he has done this periodically throughout his career. Whether it's been in Cleveland or St. Louis or wherever you name it, he usually goes away and hides for a while and it goes to the, yes, and he goes to that fountain of youth and he gets his strength back and then he's ready for a little more action.
Well, now you two have been together for many, many years in baseball. You've seen baseball's ups and baseball's downs, baseball's top times and poor times. What state is it in today?
Well, I still think that baseball is a very viable sport. I think it's in bit of a trouble because of the free agent situation. I think it's in a bit of trouble because the salaries are escalating so quickly. And I think the real danger is that someplace along the line, the ticket prices are going to get up into a bracket where it's going to work a hardship on people to come out and see the ball games as often as they'd like to. We have prided ourselves over a period of years to be able to maintain a family price situation where you could bring mom and the kids out for a Sunday afternoon or a Friday night and it wouldn't cost you an arm and a leg. But all of a sudden, you know, with all these higher costs, with inflation, with everything else, all of a sudden you have to start raising those prices. Yeah. Just to keep level. And this is the hardship. This is the problem that I see facing baseball in the years ahead. And that's basically overpricing or pricing the product out of the reach of the common man.
There's a possibility that what we know is already an alarming salary level could even go higher.
Oh yes, the sky's the limit. You know that, and whereas 100,000 used to be a real lot of money, and just a few of the real major league stars would even touch that figure. Now it's a commonplace figure. So years from now, $500,000 will be like like nothing. Yeah. And that, of course, is the big hazard. And I, look, don't misunderstand me. I'm not against anybody getting as much money as he can for whatever he's selling or whatever services he performs. So you have to blame the owner for paying it. And I guess we are no different than anybody else. If somebody wants to pay me more than I think I'm worth, I got news for you. I don't give it back. I'll take it.
Rudy, thanks a lot for being with us again today. I'm hoping that you're going to still be around Chicago, and the same goes for Bill Veeck. You fellows have contributed a lot to the game. Really nice people.
Well, thank you, Bob. I've always enjoyed coming up here and talking with you, and we've enjoyed our stay in Chicago, and hope we'll stay for a while to come.
Thanks. Our guest today has been Rudy Schaefer, the business manager and vice president of the White Sox. Have a happy day, and now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.
Very good.